We'll slide directly into our Vent Stay segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. Grazing is one of the topics. We will also throw in this week the discussion of Native American mascots for schools, which is up again in Oregon, and it looks like a couple of schools are approaching getting permission from tribes to do that. Join us on the exchange on Vent Stay. It's your call, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. To the Native American mascots issue first, an agreement is expected soon between Roseburg Schools and the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians, an agreement that will allow the team name Roseburg Indians to stay with the high school. Oregon has gone back and forth and back again on this issue. In 2012, the State Board of Education ordered schools to replace the Native American mascots, Indians, Braves, Chieftains, and others, within 5 years. The state legislature then passed a law allowing the mascots to stay with approval of a tribe and ordered the board to set up rules. Well, the board nixed that last year, but then reversed itself in January of this year. So if a tribe, any of the 9 tribes in Oregon, approves a school's mascot, the Native American name can stay. In at least one district, the approval comes with an agreement to provide history lessons approved by the tribe. So let's hear from you. What's your take on the tribal mascots issue? Okay to use with tribal approval? Or would you have preferred that all the Native American team names and mascots just go bye-bye? 800-838-3760 to talk about that. Or to talk about the other issue, which is grazing on public lands. Also send emails to jx@jeffnet.org, and we'll have Emily Cureton here in just a moment with results from our survey. So the other topic, again, grazing federal lands. Go big and talk about whether it should happen at all, or focus on some of the finer points like where it should happen and under what conditions. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Chuck in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that the U.S. Forest Service is also do a lot of grazing, particularly here on the east side. And they are negligent or incapable of providing adequate environmental impact statements as required when there's an endangered or listed species. And so they continue to not be prepared to make that available for public comment and curing the issue.
So not just the BLM, you're saying, but the Forest Service is
yeah, also, right. Yeah. And they then are able to, under the 2004 law, just continue the old grazing permit despite the damage to the endangered species in the area. We have several examples of that throughout the West.
Chuck, thank you for go ahead.
They can't afford to get, apparently. And they can't account for the costs of grazing permits. So you have a very difficult time if you're in opposition to do any accounting for how costly it is to the public.
All right. Thanks so much, Chuck. Appreciate you bringing that up. We had, in fact, been talking in the studio, and I forgot to bring that up, about the fact that, yes, indeed, you have entities like the Fremont-Wainema National Forest, where you are in the Klamath Basin, that also have grazing going on federal land, not BLM land. So a couple different agencies involved, not just the BLM. So this is Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about grazing on public lands in the West, and how that is being handled or not handled well enough, depending on your perspective. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. We're also talking about Native American mascots for schools. Emily Cureton in the studio with me with the survey on that particular issue this week. And we got a fairly robust response, it seems like.
We did, Jeff. We didn't get a terribly high number of responses, and that survey is still up on the Jefferson Exchange Facebook page as well as our Twitter feed. Pretty easy to find if you use social media, and we're monitoring new responses coming in. I think what was interesting, rather than the number, was the split here. We asked people simply how did they feel about Native American mascots, and then Native American mascots should be fill in the blank, and the blanks were banned in public schools, allowed only with approval from a tribe, a local tribe, left alone, or permitted but altered to be less stereotypical.
So you baited the hook. You let us know what the categories were. So what were the responses?
Well, Jeff, as I said, we asked people what we should do with Native American mascots. And interestingly enough, the pie chart was pretty split here. 47% of the people who responded to our survey said ban them. You know, we're done. That's part of the past. 33.3%, exactly a third. So they should be left alone. This is just political correctness. And again, that's the verbiage we gave them to choose from. So a third of people saying, come on, let's talk about something else. And then 20%, one fifth, said that we should keep these kinds of mascots with approval from a local tribe. So people who opted for that, you know, here's a comment from Gary in Crescent City, California, actually in Del Norte County, California, that does have a Native American mascot at its school, the Del Norte Warriors. Gary wrote, "The vast majority of imagery related to Native American mascots are misrepresentative and degrading portrayals that are not the original inhabitants of our nation. Native American people are not just what you see in old westerns or artifacts in museums. They're members of our communities, mothers and fathers, students and athletes, friends and family. When they and their ancestors are made into mascots, they're turned into nothing less than a mockery, buffoons in feathers, savages to be conquered. You can be proud of where you come from, where you went to school, your family's alma mater. Allowing students, athletes, children, and their families to be mocked because of their ethnicity and who they are is not okay." So that from Gary in Crescent City. And Gary voted for keeping Native-themed mascots if they are approved by a local tribe. So interesting nuance there.
All right, let's hear what you think. Join us on the exchange on this Vince Day to talk about either that issue or grazing on public lands. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Mike in McKinleyville. Welcome to the exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks. Hi. I was just curious to know, in regards to grazing, what are the responsibilities of the ranchers? You talk about the allotments and the condition of the land. Well, I was just curious to know what the ranchers are supposed to be doing or not doing, or how they can make the lands in better shape, or what the conditions may be. So it's just like the, you know, the rules and regulations of the rancher.
Best I can tell you without Jess Burns in the room, Mike, is that there are requirements on the ranchers. They do have to keep the land in decent shape. But the problem is determining what kind of shape is decent shape when the BLM doesn't get out there very often. And so, yes, there are requirements to keep the land in shape. And Jess did include in her piece discussions with the rancher that she visited in Malheur County, talking about all the things she's done to improve the habitat along the streams, particularly that run through the grazing allotment. But the requirements exist. Whether they're kept up with is one of the major points these days, is that there's not a lot of attention to make sure that people are keeping up with what they're required to do. Your thoughts, 800-838-3760, to talk about grazing or Native American mascots on this Vince Day. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. The survey's still open at our Facebook page on the Native American mascots, too. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the exchange.
Good morning. Well, let's see. Native Americans, I like your idea of doing it with the permission of a local tribe. Now, as far as that goes, you know of the Shasta Indians, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The word Shasta is not the name that those people used for themselves. The Shasta name is what the Tequilma called the Shasta, and in Tequilman, Shasta is enemy.
Really?
That's what I understand. Confirm that with Tom Doty after I got burned on that other joke website a while back. No. And then let's move on, because that really is a distraction from the stuff that's really going on that we really do need to be paying attention to. The grazing situation is more complex, and I'm going to disclaim. I spent a fair amount of my childhood growing up on a farm, dairy farm, and new ranchers and new farmers. I spent my teenage years subsistence fishing in the Pacific Ocean. And I'll tell you, there were times when I was up to my hips in black snapper off of Brookings. We ate it all, and what we didn't use, we used for baiting crab pots. Now that place is a desert underwater. It's really hard to catch fish there, partly because we overfished it. Overgrazing is the same thing in all of the West. You have to understand, you know, when people think about this, that the rancher has a cow that drops a calf, or they go to the auction and buy calves. They run the calves for a period of time out there until the calves hit a certain size. Then the calves are moved to a commercial feedlot, generally, where they are fattened up on grain and all kinds of other things. This is a hugely industrial process of which the ranchers are the sharp end. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told a politician the other day who asked me about running for office here in the area, and that is we have to start living in the 2050s as opposed to living in the 1850s. There are far better sources of protein than beef. I like a steak as much as anybody else, but there are far better, far more efficient ways to produce protein that is complete for us to eat than to eat beef. It's an inefficient process. It's destroying the environment, and God love the ranchers. I love them, but we need to make a fundamental change. If you want to see what happens if you don't make a change, look at the Southern Sahara.
All right. Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate the thoughts. Paul is a master at tying the comment lines together of the two separate topics we have. Glad you brought up the issue of the Shasta actually being the word for enemy in another mm-hmm. Indian language, because it reminds me, for example, that for all the years that we referred to the nation of the Sioux, that
yeah.
was never what they called themselves.
I mean, I think at heart here, people are concerned about appropriating and renaming cultures that have recently experienced genocide. And is that a good thing to kind of cutesify for public school mascots? From our survey that's on our Facebook page, you know, a third of the people who answered it, actually a fifth of the people who answered it, thought that was okay if these mascots were made more culturally sensitive and not appropriative. Some people said, you know, this is just political correctness. One of those was Sue Ellen in Reading. She said, I don't feel it as it's derogatory. If it is, then what about the Celtics, the Vikings, etc.? Let's see, we had Jane and Del Norte was on the same page. She said, I see them as having been named not as a matter of derision, but because the people they represent were brave, tough, and honorable. Let the name stay. So that was about 30% of our comments were echoing those feelings from Jane and Del Norte and Sue Ellen in Reading. And, you know, as a local reporter, I've actually sat through school board meetings where this debate played out, and people do seem to feel very strongly in both camps.
They do indeed. And, you know, when I think about the Shasta and enemy and Lakota and Sioux, two sides of the same coin. I remember, too, that the University of North Dakota and the North Dakota legislature, as I recall, went through a big fight about letting go of the name Fighting Sioux for the University of North Dakota. As this person who talked about Celtics and Vikings points out, how different is that from the University of Notre Dame, also UND, Fighting Irish?
I mean, maybe genocide is the difference. I don't know.
Well, you know, the Irish have been through genocide themselves, too,
right.
But not necessarily on this continent. So let's get some other thoughts from you on this Vents Day about Native American mascots and grazing on public land. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Donna in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Donna, go ahead.
Oh, Donna, you said?
Yes.
I think some attention to the politics of this and the bigger picture. Way back, there was a movement, I call it Starve the Beast. And the idea was if you starve the beast, it was part of budget cutting, excuse for budget cutting, which could have been somewhat efficiency, but also the politics of the power of those that want to get at government regulations.
So, in other words, just don't fund the agencies and watch them starve and not be able to hold up the regulations?
No, they have to cut back personnel. Now, there's a certain amount of efficiency possible with budget cuts, but where you starve them, where they have to hire employees to do this work, there have been big fights, not really getting the headlines about the, I'd call them scandalously low fees for both mm-hmm. grazing and mining rights.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Don. Appreciate that. Let's move on to Jeff in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, good morning. Well, grazing, like another fellow said, is very complicated, but and I believe that some grazing is probably warranted on public land. There's an awful lot of public land out there. But I think grazing, particularly in high country meadows and near riparian areas, should be very closely monitored, if not totally done away with. I have seen, like in our own Siskiyou Crest area between Mount Ashland and going west from there, I've seen that come back with a decrease in grazing up there. I've seen it come back to now. It's spectacular with wildflowers. And 20 years ago, you go up there in July and you wouldn't see anything but bare dirt and cows.
Because they fenced it off now and moved
I've
the cattle out.
I've also seen the Shewakan River, which used to be a beautiful trout stream in eastern Oregon, with the banks all eroded down and the stream profile from being a deep, narrow stream to a big, wide stream that had very few trout in it. And, of course, they're trying to rehab that now, but it was pretty much ruined by grazing. Grazing needs to be monitored. I'm not sure how the BLM can do that with the lack of resources, anyway.
But you're all for the greater regulation of grazing.
On a mascot, I think that if a mascot name is offensive to people, particularly Native Americans who have been treated so badly, that it should be done away with. It's very strange that we treat people so badly in the past and even today somewhat, and yet we venerate them in a way with these names. That seems odd to me.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Jeff. Appreciate that. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Native American mascots for schools, one of our topics, grazing on public lands, the other. Emily Curitan's in here with me with results from our survey. Fairly strong feelings, it seems like. There's not a lot of I can take it or leave it on this. Not that we really provided that option for them, but.
Yeah, that is number one rule of survey taking is no neutral ground provided on our Jefferson Exchange surveys. However, you're right. And we were really focusing in here on public schools, secondary education. And, the strength of the feelings there perhaps is a little bit surprising because it doesn't seem like the stakes would be that high, in terms of changing a mascot or having something that everyone can agree on. But I have found that is not the case. The stakes appear quite high from the local school board meetings that I've been to on this topic. One thing, though, the policies and the points established at exactly those kinds of meetings, we got an article here through our Facebook page. Marty in Texas managed to come across our survey, and she's an HR person who has written a piece for Indian Country Today Media Network, and she sent that along. And in it, she lays out sort of the hypocrisy of continuing to use Native mascots while we adopt anti-bullying policies in our schools. And here's just a clip of this article she sent. She says, because of teen suicide and bullying, schools across the country have adopted anti-discrimination, anti-bullying policies to hold perpetrators accountable for inflicting harm on other students. But what happens when the anti-bullying policy is negated by your racially based mascot? So that's an interesting question there. Do these mascots actually perpetuate bullying in some way? I'd be curious to know what our listeners think of that.
Yes, let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760 by phone as we talk about Native American mascots. Our other topic is grazing on public lands and the appropriateness or not. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Back to grazing with Todd in Ashland, who writes, the western states, including most of Washington, Oregon, Northern California, Idaho, and Nevada do not have enough rainfall and fertile soil to grow the amount of vegetation needed to support cattle. Cattle should not be grazed in most of the West, period. Grow cows where the soil is rich and deep and it rains year-round, like most all the Midwest and southeastern states. Cattle grazing and the few cowboys it supports is nothing more than some silly romantic fairy tale that we here in the West need to let go of, says Todd in Ashland. Here's Joseph in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning. I was hoping to comment about the invasive noxious weeds and the impact on the grazing cattle as well. I imagine that the cow patties would actually enrich the soil. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
I'm not the expert in here at the time. We're the moderators and not the deliverers of information. If somebody else knows the answer about how well the cow pies go ahead and fertilize the soil. We would love to have your perspective as well. 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Bruce in Happy Camp checks in on this. He says, we in Happy Camp have to watch cows feeding and defecating in the Klamath River. The Horse Creek feedlot is a muddy mess, and the rancher doesn't even care to run one short fence and water his cows away from the river. They know better, but are doing it to say, I can do whatever I want, even if it pollutes our water. I want the ranching community to grow up and take more responsibility, says Bruce in Happy Camp. Here is Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Excuse me, I'm chewing my breakfast. At any rate, Native people everywhere in the world call themselves the people, and everybody else is not the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And whatever name a tribe has it's that they call themselves, it means we are the people.
Okay.
Human beings. And the Sioux means, is French for cutthroat.
Cutthroat, right, yeah, which they gave to the Lakota.
And, you know, this has been going on for a long time. But enough of that. On grazing, I was on the train one time through New Mexico, and they had a Native man on the train talking about the landscape. And he said, see all the sagebrush and sand out there? Well, prior to the late 1800s, there was actually grass here, but it was overgrazed, and now it's all sagebrush and sand. And, you know, you go to eastern Oregon, and it's all sagebrush and sand. Well, it didn't always used to be grazed, you know, sagebrush and sand.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, there was grass. It's just that we hadn't shown up yet, and we hadn't overgrazed it, as we invariably do. And many years ago when I was a child, friends of mine, neighbors of mine went to visit their cousins in Wyoming who had a sheep ranch. And they came back and told us how inexpensive it was to graze sheep on federal land. My father thought that they must be lying because he said if it were true, then the Kennedy brothers would have their cousins over from Ireland grazing sheep on that land.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out to be the actual case.
Wow. All right. Thanks.
That, you know, grazing land was extremely inexpensive on federal land. And so I'm wondering about whether that's changed or not. I don't know.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Mark. Appreciate it. Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Jeffrey Riley and Emily Curitan with you. And we have a bunch of survey responses about we asked about the Native American mascots as our other issue today.
Yeah, we did. And it's nice to hear some new voices in this way through our Facebook page. Easy to find, Jefferson Exchange and @JeffExchange on Twitter. Also, if you have a community group, I've been posting the survey around on those. Please get in touch with us and let us know where you're having these kinds of discussions in your part of the state of Jefferson. On our survey, we asked people, do we leave these mascots? Do we ban them? Or do we alter them to be more sensitive? Half of the people said we should just ban them. A third said, leave them alone. And one-fifth said, with approval. You know, on the count of keeping them, most people were saying, well, one, we're going to have to get rid of everything that has to do with the chieftains, the Scots, the rebels, the warriors, the Yankees, everything else. The whole, you know, that kind of political correctness constricting our choices in mascots here. And then also some people said that these mascots are venerating. And we didn't ask people where they were coming from, if they're Native or anything like that on the survey. But most of the people who said leave them alone were either annoyed by the political correctness or cited a reason like, hey, this is actually honoring the culture.
We had that new survey response from Ann in Grants Pass just a little bit ago who said, I was thinking that mascots are something that are revered and loved, so if tribes are okay with them, it should be allowed, only allowed with approval of a local tribe. More thoughts here from, let's see, we lost that call. Let's go to, is this Rebecca in Junction City?
Yes.
Okay, welcome.
Yeah, it seems like if the image is dignified of a warrior, chieftain, or whatever, and it's real and historical and, you know, pretty much, except for maybe the art, and dignified, then it would be okay with me.
I wonder, I'm white. Rebecca, can you think of a dignified mascot off the top of your head?
Yeah, Sitting Bull and lots of others that I can think of that, if it rendered in a way that you could render those in a way that was dignified, definitely, and maybe with... yeah, you could do it.
How about Roseburg High School, for example, where they just show the feather now? Fear the feather, they've been saying for years now.
Ooh, wow. I don't know. That's tough. I don't know. I'm thinking of a face or something like that, even with Seminoles or various tribes that don't necessarily have horses and war bonnets and things. But just as long as it looks serious and beautiful or something like that. It can be fierce and beautiful and dignified.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Rebecca. Let's go to Bill and Eugene, who may have an answer to our cowpie question.
Yes. I was told that it takes 7 years for a cowpie to completely break down, put the nutrients back in the soil. So if you consider that and the nutrients that a little nutrients that there is out there for the cows to eat, it's killing our environment.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Let's see. We got Bob and Ashland wrote, public lands in the West being generally poor quality. You got to wonder whether they are worth the impacts at all, grazing, he means. How much do Western public lands percentage-wise contribute to meat supply compared to private? And then regarding mascots, a related matter, Dead Indian Road, which in Jackson County is now Dead Indian Memorial Road. Come on, let's call it Dead White Guy Road. How stupid is that, writes Bob in Ashland. Jim in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, very quickly, taking into consideration 21st century on grazing land, global warming, doesn't a person have to post a non-refundable bond if you're going to use any public lands for anything?
An excellent question for which we do not have the answer, but we will try to add that as a tack on to our coverage of this issue on the web. Jim, thanks for that.
Yep. And maybe we have a final thought from our survey here, Jeff.
Sure.
All right. Let's give this one to Sarah in Ashland. She says absolutely not to Native American mascots. They play into the trope of the noble savage and do Native culture's justice. It totally denigrates them and negates already marginalized voices. That from Sarah in Ashland.
All right. Strong feelings on both issues. Not a big surprise. I guess that's why we put them out here on
Vince
Day. Emily Curitin is the producer of the Jefferson Exchange and my co-host on Vince Day. Thank you for listening to this hour.